Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. These other words. In the name of Jesus, the light of the world, fellow redeemed in his blood. There are often events that change the course of history for earthly nations. And when their importance is recognized, they're later celebrated. We Americans, for example, look back on the events that took place in the late 1700s, leading up to the Declaration of Independence by the founding fathers of our country. We look back on these historical events, and each year we celebrate Independence Day. If there was one event that changed the course of history for Israel, it was the Exodus from Egypt. God blessed the sons of Jacob by delivering them from famine and into the land of prosperity known as Egypt by one of their own, Joseph. But when the nation of Egypt enslaved the Israelites, they cried out to the Lord, and he made plans to deliver them. God began by choosing Moses, who had once been an adopted son of Pharaoh, to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. God enlisted Moses at the burning bush, calling him there, and there revealing his covenant name. Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The great I am, Yahweh, led the family of Israel out of Egypt by means of signs and wonders. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D in your Bibles, Yahweh, opened the Red Sea before them and fed them with bread from heaven. The Lord, Yahweh, bore witness to his presence among them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The light that shone out in the darkness was a visible reminder that he was present among his people. After 40 years in the wilderness, Yahweh prepared to fulfill his promise and to give them the promised land. Lest they forget their history, the Lord commanded that they observe three great festivals: the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Festival of Tabernacles. Each of these festivals, in different ways, reminded the Israelites of God's greatest deliverance from Egypt. The Feast of the Tabernacles was the last of the three great festivals. It celebrated the gathering in of the harvest, and it commemorated God's provision in the Promised Land, a land said to flow with milk and honey. The Feast of Tabernacles also reminded the Israelites of the Exodus, for during their week-long celebration, God commanded them to move out of their houses and to dwell in tents. He told them, "You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, your God." In fact, it was almost like a recreation of their time in the wilderness that week. On the first day of the celebration, it was customary to light 4 great candelabra on the Temple Mount. And it said that the light of those 4 great lights illuminated the entire city, much like the pillar of fire once cast its light on the camp of the Israelites. It also reminded the people of God's promise to send the Messiah, the promised Savior, to shine in the darkness and to deliver his people. But what does all this have to do with us? Well, it was during this Feast of Tabernacles, perhaps within sight of those four great candelabra, that the Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This morning we seek to learn what Jesus meant when he called himself the light of the world. Furthermore, we want to understand what it means to follow him and have the light of life. If we learn these things, it's necessary that the Holy Spirit put away our natural blindness and enlighten and teach us. Since that is our earnest desire, we pray, sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. We have on numerous occasions in the past, both during sermons and in Bible classes, discussed interpreting or understanding God's word. When we interpret anything we read, we try to understand what the author meant when he wrote to his original readers. We want to understand the context, the words, and how they fit into the letter. And there are two things that can make it difficult for us to understand God's word: the language gap, Greek and Hebrew, and also the culture gap. Things were different in first century Judah. Again, what does that have to do with us here this morning? Well, chances are when we hear "I am," we don't think, "Hey, that's the name of God, revealed at the burning bush." Rather, when we hear "I am," we wonder, when's the rest of the sentence going to be completed? I am what? But when the God of the Bible revealed his personal name to Moses at the burning bush, that's what he said. He said that his name was "I am." That's what the name Yahweh means. I am. And when it's used in our Bibles, it's often capitalized so that we notice it. Capital L-O-R-D. The name of the covenant, the God of promise and mercy. And so when the people of Jerusalem heard Jesus say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am," they understood Jesus to be saying, "I am the I am. I am God." Likewise, when Jesus says things like, "I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world," many believe he's using that same designation, the I am designation. He's telling us that he's God, and furthermore, describing his qualities to us. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," on two different occasions. This is the first time the Savior said it, while speaking to a crowd in the temple of the Lord during the Feast of Tabernacles. The second time that Jesus spoke this, he spoke it to his disciples, just before he healed a man born blind, who couldn't see where he was going or who he was. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he's speaking emphatically. He's not saying, "I am one of the lights of the world." He's saying, "I am the light. There is no other." As you well know, light reveals itself and those things hidden by darkness. Headlights, house lights, flashlights all serve to reveal what the darkness hides. Headlights show where the road begins and ends, and if a person or an animal is lurking. House lights and flashlights do much the same. They show us where to go. They enable us to walk in the darkness without running into something or tripping over it. Jesus is the great I am who knows all things. He, through his word, enlightens us. He reveals to us what is good and evil, what is pleasing to God and what is not. When we compare what Christ says to any object or subject, it reveals whether it's true or false, good or evil. But if we didn't have Christ's word, then we might have to begrudgingly accept just any word as valid as any other. Think of it like this. The man born blind was literally unable to see Jesus, the Son of God, but he gave him sight. He would have remained forever blind without Christ, but Jesus spit on the ground and took the mud made from his saliva and put it in the man's eyes. Now, normally that doesn't help you see, but in this case, it healed the man's blindness. Who would believe such a thing? We do. Because the most amazing thing has happened, that God has enlightened our hearts and minds so that we see the truth. And we have been enabled by his word to know things that much of our world considers to be the great mysteries of life. We know where this world came from and what happened to make it imperfect. We know why death is part of this world. We confess that we've sinned, and we recognize that there's a part of us, our corrupt nature, that wants to continue in sin. We've come to know that we can't save ourselves. And yet we rejoice to know that God sent his Son to do just that, to save us. We know that Christ rose from the dead the third day to assure us that our sins are forgiven and that we too will rise from death. We are children of light because of Christ, the light of the world. And there's no other way than Christ and his word for human beings to see the truth about themselves and the future. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When the people of Israel lived in tents in the wilderness, they followed that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. When they had questions about how they should go, where they should live, they sought guidance of the Lord. Yet even they turned from him and disobeyed him to the paths of darkness. We seek to follow Jesus, the light of the world. We believe his word, and we seek to live in it according to it, not because we're good, but because he sent his spirit to enlighten our hearts. When we follow Jesus, we don't find ourselves in darkness. We don't frequent places where we would be tempted to sin. He never leads us into temptation. We are tempted to sin when we turn from him and follow our own fleshly desires. Christ's way never leads to ignorance or infidelity or sin, but always to truth, faithfulness, and forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying that those who follow Christ are perfect little angels. Not this side of heaven. We do fall into sin, but when we do, we don't justify it. We don't minimize it, but instead humble ourselves and confess our sins and seek forgiveness in Jesus' shed blood. When our faith in Christ is kept strong through his word, we see evidence of his love for us in our lives. Think of it like this. A plant that's kept in the dark is going to die. But the same plant placed in the sunlight will grow and thrive and show all the evidence of life. The longer we cling to Jesus by faith and walk in his word, the more evidence we see in our lives of his loving care. The more we grow up, the more we mature. The more we're enabled to distinguish truth from error, good from evil. We learn more to rejoice in him and to boast in his life and death, and less in what we've done. So do you find increasing darkness in your life from time to time? Are you unsure about a decision in your life? Are you conflicted about a path your life has taken, which seems to be leading you away from Christ? seek your Lord in prayer, return to His Word, and make what He values your value in life. And you'll find that the answer is simpler than you thought. Have you noticed increasing darkness in your life? Do you find yourself frequenting places or gathering with people that don't share your faith in Christ? Do you find it easy to do what God's word and your conscience tells you is evil? Then seek Christ in prayer. Confess your sins. Return to His word, and you will find no time for darkness. And finally, even when we have to ourselves walk the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear, because we know Christ is our companion, whose glorious resurrection from the dead has sealed our redemption and proves that He has defeated death and made life and immortality our future inheritance. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise and all thy day be bright." I looked to Jesus and I found in Him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.